This is Taz.
The mood is about to change.
The Human Podcast Machine.
You're not afraid of a little competition, are you?
Hey, what's going on? What's up, everyone? This is he, Taz, and I would like to thank you for downloading this edition of HPM, the Human Podcast Machine, or subscribing to the show. Thank you for the support. This is going to be a Raw reaction show to the live Monday Night Raw that we saw from London. So I'll get to that in a few moments. Want to talk real quick about yesterday was April 13th. And, well, it was a huge day for any ECW fans and ECW wrestlers or ECW office personnel. It was the anniversary of Barely Legal, the first ever ECW pay-per-view. And there was a lot of tweeting going on about it and photos and the infamous photo of Sabu and I facing off and the Barely Legal logo, and it just brought back just a ton of memories. I think I'm bad with years. I was 18 years. I 1997, so it was like 18. I believe it was 18 years ago. Please don't correct me if I'm wrong. I don't write down dates. I don't write stuff down, as you know. So just a long time ago, huge day it was back then for ECW. And just, you know, it's kind of like just crazy memories of that day, of that pay-per-view, and the stress and the nerves by so many of us, especially Sabu and I. You know, it was the first time ever we both had to headline a pay-per-view, nevertheless do a live pay-per-view. So there was a lot of pressure on us and the whole card. It was a day in history for wrestling fans, and especially ECW fans and ECW historians. It was a great moment. You know, and thank you to everybody back then, not just the fans, but Paul Heyman and all the other wrestlers in ECW, from the Dudleys to Dreamer to Raven to Sabu to Van Damme, Bill Alfonso. I mean, it goes on and on. I mean, I'm leaving some guys out. I apologize. Just a bunch of guys. Just thank you to everybody, you know. And it doesn't seem like it was that many years ago. And it was just it was a great day. Very stressful day being in that main event. Pushed the way we were, Sabu and I. It was very hard to live up to the billing of that match. You know, so it was, because there was so much hype on it. But I just wanted to say, you know, and maybe down the road we'll talk more about Barely Legal and that first live pay-per-view and that match Sabu and I had that we didn't touch each other for a year until that day. So the pull-aparts went on for a year, and they worked great, and it shows that you can keep guys apart and have them connect at the payoff and make it mean something. I think we did that. But a lot of stress that day, man, but it was a lot of fun, and can't believe it was that many years ago. So, we're going to have a Raw React show here. I just felt like I had to talk about that real quick. So we're going to take a quick break, got to pay some bills. Come right back, boys and girls, with the old Raw React from the Human Podcast Machine himself, me, Taz.
We'll be right back with the warm, cuddly, fuzzy Taz.
The Human Podcast Machine.
Well, the wait is finally over. Baseball season is here at last, and the excitement continues all season long at DraftKings.com, the official daily fantasy partner of Major League Baseball. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments, just instant cash, instant gratification. Why wait till the end of the season to claim your victory when you can win huge cash every day? At DraftKings, it's like a brand new season every time you play. Just select two pitchers, eight position players, stay under the salary cap, and you can be on your way to an enormous payday. Last year, check this out. Last year, Peter from Colorado, he won $1 million at DraftKings, yo, in one day. Just by playing fantasy baseball. Hundreds of thousands of fantasy sports fans just like you have already cashed in at DraftKings. Now it's your turn. Hurry to DraftKings.com right now and enter promo code Taz, that's T-A-Z, to play for free. You can win part of $300 million in prizes being awarded this season. Use promo code Taz. for free entry now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com, that's DraftKings.com.
Okay, okay, welcome back, welcome back. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So here we go. Let's talk a little about Raw that we saw in London across the pond over there. Unless you live across the pond, then you're in the pond. I live across the pond. I'm an American. I'm across the pond. But if you live near the pond, are you in the pond? I don't know. But I digress. So yeah, I thought it was a good show. The crowd was hot. It was London. You know, the people were going nuts. It was definitely was packed to the rafters. The thing that jumped out to me right away, most of everybody, is that Michael Cole was back on the play-by-play, and the announced teams were in position, meaning everybody was back in order there. You know, Booker T was back there, and I know he was back this week, but so was JBL. But the regular team of those three men were together. And so it was good to hear Michael Cole back on the stick. So let's get rolling. And look, for those that are new to when I do a reaction to a show, I don't break down every match. I don't do like a lot of people do. I talk about things that stick out to me. So if you're expecting like a full breakdown of every single match, every single segment, I'm not your guy. That's not what I do. I talk about things that stick out to me. And there were several in this show. the main one was Neville, and I'm going to get to that in a few seconds. But I want to talk about the first match was John Cena in a very physical, stiff match with Barrett, Bad News Barrett. And I thought they did a good job of getting Cena to try and get people on his side for the most part before Barrett came out, because I knew Barrett would get the babyface reaction, being that they're in the UK. And Cena basically says, and I'm paraphrasing, something along the lines of WrestleMania should be in London. You know, I know I'm going to get heat for saying this. I think that's how he worded it. It was pretty cool the way he said it. And that it should be in London. So I think, and people would get behind John on that. And maybe John really means that. I don't know. I haven't talked to the guy in a long time. He might be sincere in that. I'm sure he is. I mean, but it does help keep a babyface reaction when you're the babyface and then there's other guys that have come out and he's from there. So it's a little tough. Well, regardless, Bad News Barrett came out and these guys had a match for the United States Championship in the UK, which is odd in itself, but that's happened before. Excuse me. It's kind of weird, right? You're going to defend a U.S. title. We're going to have a match with the U.S. champ or whatever, and we're not in America. But that's been like that in the business, so it's not a big deal. But these guys had a very physical match. They really did. They laid it in, man. And I got to tell you, man, WWE as of late, I mean, they have really, the physicality, they're letting the talent work a little more aggressive and physical, and I think it's great. It's a testament to the office and to the talent, so that's cool, man. It's tough to do that every night, you know, and guys out there that wrestle full-time or have wrestled full-time or still do know what I mean. It's tough to do that every night, but when the cameras and lights are on, hey, bring it. And these guys did. Cena and Barrett brought it. They brought it in a big way, man. They really got physical. I really enjoyed the match. Cena won the match. To me, that didn't really matter much, but it was just I really thought it was a great way to kick off the show with that type of a match and that physicality with a big star like John Cena, and it really made Barrett even more, especially in his home country. So I thought all that was cool. We saw Paige. She won the Battle Royal, and it was a good Battle Royal. The girls all worked really hard, and it came down to Naomi and Paige, and then Paige wins the thing, and that wasn't the story. I think the story they were trying to tell is that Naomi ended up during an interview with Paige, I believe, in Byron Saxton, which was kind of, we were all safe that poor Byron wasn't at the announce desk for Raw. No knock on the guy, but, you know, I think he's a little bit better, in my opinion, at this point in his career, you know, either in a color commentator role or as an interviewer. He does a great job as an interviewer. Paige was getting interviewed by Byron, and the thing that I thought was odd in this, I look at, like, little things, right? Excuse me. Paige was holding the microphone. She took the microphone from Byron, and that's usually like a no-no. Like, you never give up control of the mic, you know, when you're an interviewer. And I don't know what happened. I mean, you're not going to fight with the talent. She's a female. So Byron's kind of in a rough spot there. But, you know, I thought it was odd that, you know, why is he, if you're going to just cut a promo, then just cut the promo. You don't need Byron there, you know? I mean, so I don't know why he gave up control. Maybe it was just something that they worked out. I mean, maybe I'm being picky. I probably am. But Maybe as an announcer, that kind of stuff sticks out to me. But regardless, it was a good interview, and she did a good job. She talked about her, you know, her coming up the ranks in the UK and working for real low money in high schools and stuff like that, and as a wrestler, 5 pounds, 4 pounds, I don't know the difference in the pounds, the dollars, the cents, I don't know, pounds. To me, you know, I need to lose pounds. That's all I know. And so she talked about the lack of money she made coming up, like a lot of us going through that struggle over the years. And out of nowhere, Naomi turned on us. She came out of nowhere and just turned heel. And I thought that was a pretty good, surprising moment. I thought that was pretty cool. And it was a good oomph for Naomi. And so I thought that was interesting. I also really enjoyed seeing the Lucha Dragons. When they just perform, it's just awesome. I mean, they beat the Ascension. The Ascension seems like they really, unfortunately for these young men, they kind of took a step down for whatever reason. Because this was just more or less like an enhancement match for the Lucha Dragons. And the Lucha Dragons just had that whole building rocking. Lucha, Lucha. You know, just they're just great. They are just so, Sin Cara and Kalisto, just amazing, amazing, amazing. Saw these guys in NXT, and I'm like, yo, this is the deal right here. These guys are great. And they really are. I mean, and it's great to see WWE utilize them the right way thus far, building them. So, Ascension, man, I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. I mean, they just, I think those guys were against, they had their, they kind of were behind the eight ball from Jump Street doing a mockery of the Road Warriors, one of the most legendary great tag teams ever in the history of the world. And speaking of tag teams, a little segue for you here, a little promotional plug. Right here on HPM this month, you will hear myself, the Professor Mike Tenay, and my producer Seth banging out the best tag teams in the wrestling business of all time. We're going to do a fantasy draft edition, our monthly fantasy draft edition. So that's coming tag team this month. And we talk a lot about the Road Warriors in that. Anyway, I think that was a tough deal for the Ascension to come in that way, punking out, calling out all the old teams. And then they, you know, it's kind of like a ripoff of the Road Warriors. I think you're kind of behind the eight ball on that. Whatever reason, it just didn't work. But the Lucha Dragons, they do work. It's just, it's again, let me back up a second. I'm not dismissing or discrediting or saying that the Ascension's done. They might not be. I have no clue. It seems like they're not really, there's not a lot of steam behind them right now. And the steam is on the Dragons, on the Lucha Dragons. And obviously, you know, That showed last night. It jumped out. But we'll see. I mean, I hope the Ascension things, they climb up again. We'll see. The other thing that I noticed, I thought was really wild, really cool, was when Booker T interviewed Roman Reigns in the ring. And I never met Roman Reigns. I got to say, he's a big dude. Because Booker's a big guy. And Reigns was taller than Booker. I mean, I'm like, yo, Reigns, this dude's got, I don't know, I never met the kid. So he's got to be definitely around 6'5"-ish or so. He's a big cat, because Booker's far from small. Then Big Show ended up coming out, and they got into this whole, well, Reigns was going to the back, and then Big Show blindsided him. There was this big heat attack on top of the little London taxi cab there, and big bump choke slam on top of the roof, and they did a great job, WWE. I believe it was coming back at a break of regrouping and showing you, this is what they do great from a production standpoint and direction from either Vince McMahon or Triple H or creative, whoever, of showing you the damage that was done to this taxi cab, that Roman Reigns' body was put into this and dented up this taxi to the power and rage of the Big Show. That's what WWE does really, really well. Well, they do a lot of things really well, but that's one of the things that jump out to me always. They regroup, they bring things forward, they're descriptive, they show you the car, they show you the dents, the metal all bent up. That's huge, man. That's huge. And we as fans have become accustomed to them doing this like this, and they do a great job of it. I mean, years ago, you never saw that type of stuff because there wasn't as good a production years ago, and it wasn't the money spent on the cameras and the lighting and the amount of camera crew and the director and the producer. So, you know, they all did a great job on that. I got to say, I tip my cap to them on the way they recapped the taxi cab gimmick with Reigns getting bumped all over the place through it due to the Big Show. And then one of the things that really jumped out at me during the show was Stardust wrestled Fandango. Fandango loses to Stardust. And And that was just like basically an eighth of the story. The match ends, and then Fandango grabs the mic, cuts a promo, and says he kind of takes a shot at Rosa. Instead of being with you, I should be with them. I think that's what he said. He goes, stands on one of the announce desks, and they hit the music gimmick, the other music gimmick, and oh my God, the place goes crazy, and he's doing a little dance. And I even tweeted about it. It's like this kid just got back over in like 2 seconds. Just by them hitting that music and being that it's there, because I know there they love it. Someone was treating me, yeah, well, you got a great pop there, but you play that in the States and it gets crickets. Well, that's bull. Okay, it's bullshit, actually. They don't get crickets. They put it on Raw and did it in the UK because they knew it would get that reaction, and they're training us, the viewer, in the United States and Canada, wherever, to react that way, or when you're at that live event, you hear that music again. So, I mean, they did the right thing. I mean, so I think this was a great moment that could pole vault Fandango back a little bit higher in the card. I just seemed like it was just so weird. Like, during the match, he had no buzz about him. The match ended, it was like flat. It felt like the guy was going to retire or whatever was going on. And then that he stood on that announce desk, hit that music, and it was just like, boom, the light switch went on, and the place went nuts. It was just so instamatic. It was awesome. It was really cool. It was a really cool moment. The more or less, one of the last things I want to talk about is, I talked about at the top of this reaction, was Neville. And, he was in a match last week, I believe it was, with Seth Rollins, the WWE champion, lost. Well, this week, Dolph basically called out, whatever, anybody wants to come out, take a sip of my H2O, bear with me. Yes, you got to have H2O. You got to stay hydrated. We're in the spring season. Before you know, it's the summertime. Hydration's key, boys and girls. You got to stay hydrated. You could cramp up. You could trip, pull a hammy. You never know. So basically, Dolph Ziggler calls out anybody who wants to come out, and then boom, Neville comes out. This cool entrance with the pyro. Kid, again, just looks great. Jacked up. Body looks amazing. You know, it's just so compact physique. And I tweeted, I'm like, well, this is going to be a pretty good match right here. That's magic. Those two guys, as if Seth Rollins and Neville wasn't great the week prior. This week, it was just amazing. Just amazing. Neville is tremendous. And they're putting him into matches with guys that are just as good, if not better, that could get him over even more. So people are like, well, wait a minute. He lost last week to Seth Rollins. And I made comments about that. I was wondering, well, are they just hitting the brakes on this kid? Maybe it wasn't smart putting him out there with the champ. But he does get over with his work. I got that. Let's see what they do with him going forward. That's what I said, basically. And then going forward was this week where Ziggler wrestles him. And he lost again. But I'm sold, meaning the way they're pushing him. So he's going to lose and lose and lose probably. And this guy's going to get over by losing because of his in-ring work, because of the amount of time they're letting him do his stuff, letting him do these crazy spots. Yo, he walked around that guard wall, rail wall, whatever you call it, the black thing around the ringside area, balanced himself, and they got a 450 onto Ziggler on the outside. The amount of athleticism that takes is insane. These handsprings that he does in the ring, this gymnastics-esque stuff, the power, speed, strength he has, his look. This guy just getting over. He jumps off the screen. And he could lose every night. You're going to buy a ticket to watch this guy wrestle. You will purchase a pay-per-view or buy the network to watch this kid. This kid's going to be huge. Huge. I don't care if he loses every night. I witnessed guys like Tommy Dreamer and the Sandman lose on a regular basis during the ECW years. Dreamer didn't want to win because he got over in losing. Sandman too. And they're different type workers, obviously, than Neville. I know that. But the point is, let's not get hung up in the wins and losses with this guy. He's special. This guy, it's not like the Ascension going out there and losing. They're not exploding. They're not memorable. And I hate to say that about those young men, but they're really not in their offense. I'm just using them as an example because they lost. And they were pushed for a while and then they lost. But Neville, this guy is special. I'm telling you. They're giving him a lot of time. God, I don't know how long the match was. Maybe it's close to 10 minutes or whatever on Raw. Yo, I'm telling you from a wrestler's perspective, because I've been there, You get 10 minutes, 11, 12 minutes, 9 minutes on Raw, 8 minutes. That's a lot of time. And he's getting to apply his craft in a huge way with top guys like Rollins and Ziggler that are letting him do his stuff. It's great booking. Great job. Neville is getting made in front of our eyes via losing. It's not a bad thing. Because when you think of this guy, you don't think about that he lost a match. You think about what he does in that ring. And we saw that in NXT with this guy. Just amazing. I think he was the longest reigning NXT champion for good reason. You know, so I really don't think that it's something to really get too hung up in with the losing situation that he lost last week and this week. Then one of the last things we saw that I just wanted to talk about, I thought was pretty cool, was the whole recliner thing with Seth Rollins and with his beautiful title belt and his authority, security around him. I thought it was very cool with the chairs in the ring and all that, and him just chilling on the recliner. I was a little jealous. Wouldn't mind cutting a promo in the middle of a ring and a lazy boy. That's pretty cool. I was envious of Rollins. I really was. So they named their stips for Extreme Rules, meaning Rollins and Orton. And Rollins said, look, no RKO for you. Orton said, okay, cool. No authority because that's your strength. So it's going to be the steel cage. You and I one-on-one type thing. And they gave you the RKO, I think, but not on Rollins. And I think that was smart the way they did it. Rollins kind of just pouted out and escaped for his life. And, I thought it was smart booking. It was a little tease. It was good. Let the heel scour out of there while the big, strong babyface Orton hits that RKO, gets the pop. But yet, hey, look, Rollins, you got away by the skin of your teeth. Extreme Rules, I'm coming to get you in that cage, you know. So it was good. I think it was good booking. It was smart. And that was it. I enjoyed Raw. I thought it was really good. And I gave you a breakdown right there of my thoughts, opinions, and views. And that's really it. And stay tuned this week, either Wednesday night or early Thursday. Todd Grisham from ESPN will be my guest right here on HPM on the Human Podcast Machine. We're going to break it down with my man Grish. He is the man, so looking forward to that. His cohort, his homeboy, Jonathan Coachman, the coach from ESPN, was a great guest of mine, you know, weeks and weeks back. So, hey, Grish, you know, you got a lot to work up to here. If you could be half as good as Coach was, I'll be impressed. Otherwise, bro, I'm throwing you off. No, I'm kidding. Grish is the man, bro. You'll find out in this, if you don't know by now, he's a very witty, sarcastic guy. He's very entertaining, and I'm looking forward to having the Grish right here on HPM this week. And that's it. So thank you guys for downloading and supporting the show. Thank you to all of my advertisers and sponsors and the momentum the show's building. Taz Live, not back yet, but stay tuned. Hopefully I have an announcement about that real soon. And there's a lot of stuff going on with me in the world of the wrestling business, so you'll hear about that soon. So thank you again for downloading this Raw reaction. And I'm going to try my best to give another reaction to another show this week. I will see either Lucha Underground, maybe NXT. We got to see. I'm not really sure right now, but so that's it. So it's a packed-filled week. Next week will be even bigger for the HPM show and myself, Taz. So thank you again, guys, for downloading and subscribing right here on Play It or iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast. My name is Taz. Yours is not. Thank you. Goodbye.